Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are honored to be here with you today. Each moment we have is a gift from God, and we trust He will bless you as you spend these moments with us. We are Heralds of Hope, and our goal is to use media like literature, radio, and internet to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. We know this is a big goal, but we believe if God's people will stay focused, we can do this. Now, turn to Exodus, and we will continue our journey through this wonderful book. We hope you will be blessed by this teaching. Now, here is Bible teacher J. Mark Horst.
How many gods do you think there are in the world? 1? 50? How about 100? Or are there more? Every religion has its own god, and some religions have many gods. My friend from the country of Nepal told me that Hinduism has millions of gods and goddesses. How could you keep up with them all? The Bible also tells us that there are many gods, but more importantly, it tells us this: there is only one true God. The rest are simply the creations of men. So how does the true God operate? Does He do anything in the world today? Is He concerned about what's going on? Does it make any difference to God what happens here on earth? Or can humans just go their own way, fashioning their own lives and forging their own history according to their choices? Or does God have something to do with the world and its history? Do you have a problem with the way that evil is spreading across the world? Have you ever wondered why this is? Have you wondered why God lets it go on and on? Some people say, "Why doesn't God do something?" Well, the subject of my teaching today is God uses the wicked to glorify Him. Do you believe that? Is there any question in your mind about that? Well, there is a most exciting and interesting portion of God's Word in Exodus chapter 9 and verses 13 to 35, where we find how God uses wicked men to bring glory to Him. So I hope you can follow along in your Bible as I read that scripture text, Exodus 9 and beginning with verse 13. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart and upon your servants and upon your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite you and your people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause I have raised you up, for to show in you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And yet you exalt yourself against my people, and will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. So send therefore now and gather your cattle and all that you have in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die.' Those who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made their servants and cattle flee into the houses. And those that regarded not the word of the Lord left their servants and their cattle in the field." Now let's see what happened. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt.' And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel lived, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley were smitten by the hail, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten by the hail, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. From this text from the Bible, we discover the controls God placed upon wicked men to display his glory. God uses wicked men to glorify him. In the first control, we find the intent of God. Notice in verse 14 what God said. I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. God's intention was that Pharaoh would be forced to confess that there is no one like God. You know, many people in the world today believe they can go on their own way without paying any attention at all to God. They just ignore him. But this text tells us that God has a certain intent, a certain plan, and he is working it out. God said to Pharaoh that he had raised him up so that his power and his name would be declared not just in Egypt, but throughout the whole earth. Now that may seem a bit strange to you and me, but God is in such complete control that even a wicked person like Pharaoh can be a tool for God's name to be declared through all the earth. Some people think God doesn't know what's going on, but every person, in some sense, is God's showcase. God demonstrates his power and his glory to and through every person in some way. It may not be apparent to us, may not be clear at the moment, but God said he had raised up Pharaoh in order to declare his name in all the earth. This teaches me that God is in control and he has a certain intent or a certain plan that he is working out. And then the second control I have called the extent of the plague. Now we call this a plague because the Lord said he was going to bring a pestilence upon the people, and it would be worse than any other plague that he had sent. He said it was going to rain a grievous hail, worse than it ever had before. He said, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation, that is, since the beginning of the country, therefore even until now. Now there is something else in this text which I believe is very important for us to understand about God's control. He controls the elements. The God who made the world and separated the earth from the sea and the cloud from the dry land is still in charge. He's still in control. And in this particular case, he said he was going to make it rain a grievous hail. So God controls the elements. God warned the people to take special precautions because this was going to be worse than it had ever been before. This hail would kill people and cattle if they were exposed in the field. And so God urged them to bring their cattle inside. And we read that those who feared the Lord did that. Those who did not fear the Lord didn't do it. Those who obeyed saved their servants and their cattle. Those who didn't obey lost them to the hail. So Moses stretches out his hand toward heaven, and the hail came. And the description is awesome. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And then we're told also, and the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Now it would certainly appear that God goes to the full extent to lead men to himself, so that they might voluntarily glorify him. You see, it's their free choice whether or not they want to glorify him. And here you have the extent of the plague as another control that God has in the affairs of men. And then a final control I have called the contempt of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh saw what happened, he called for Moses and Aaron and acted as though he repented. I mean, he mocked it. He might have said, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. And so he pled that somehow the hail might cease. He said he would let them go, but we have learned from past experience he didn't mean it. And so Moses gave him a warning. It was a futile warning, but it was a warning. He said, look, I will do what you ask me to do. I'll go out and I'll spread out my hands before heaven, and God will stop the thunder and the rain and the hail. But I know you. I know you will not yet fear the Lord God. You will not let the people go. And so Moses knew this was really contempt and not really the intention of Pharaoh. And so he made that fearful reversal. Once the hail ceased, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh sinned yet more and hardened his heart, both he and his servants. My friend, that is very, very serious. But in all of this, God was still in control. Even this contempt of Pharaoh, God would turn to his glory. Pharaoh had the freedom to obey God. He also had the freedom to stand against God and not accept him as the true God. He had the right and the freedom to do that, but the consequences were frightening. Wicked men glorify God because God is in control, and someday all men will acknowledge him. The scripture tells us, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God. Many refuse now. Some keep on refusing until terrible judgments are poured out, and others keep on in their rebellious way. And so I urge you to turn to the true God now, today. Acknowledge his authority and rule. Don't be rebellious like Pharaoh. Worship and serve the God of Moses. He is my God, and he wants to be your God too.
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching, and thank you for joining us today. We trust that you have been blessed. If you have been, we would love to hear how. Here are some ways you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. If you are there, please check out the Listen tab and listen to other teaching from Heralds of Hope. On our website, you will also find other resources, and we hope you will find these beneficial. Again, the website is www.heraldsofhope.org. This brings us to the end of today's program. Thanks for being there. Please join us next week as we continue our journey through Exodus. Go with God this week, and we hope you will see him and respond like the cherubim in Isaiah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. May we praise his great name.